Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap Radio Network. We are delighted to have you there with us on this day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We are delighted to have you with us, no matter where you are, and we have a very, very full program today. So along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, we are looking forward to a lot of information today. I want to mention, before we welcome back our dear friend and colleague Sam Rohr, that during the second segment of the program today, we will have with us Kayla Moore, who is the wife of Judge Roy Moore. We all know who he is, and Kayla is actively involved in the ministry and in different things, and we're going to be talking with her today. And then during the third segment, we're going to be having with us former Georgia Congressman Paul Brown, a committed Christian who is standing for the stuff, as it were, in the Congress, and he has a lot to share with us today. So you will want to stay tuned throughout the entire hour of today's Stand in the Gap Today. But before we get to segment two, we are in segment one, and Sam Rohr, welcome back into this world, sir. Glad to have you.
Well, Gary and Dave, it's great to be back. And I left part of my voice in Ukraine, as those of you who are listening can tell. But it's great to be back, and I really missed being on the program last week. I did try to check from time to time, and it was a full week, I know, gentlemen, but it's great to be back.
You sound okay. It just sounds like you've aged about 50 years since you've been gone. So,
well, at the moment, I feel like it, but I'm not really.
Well, why don't you share with our audience what really happened over there, and maybe you can start by answering the question, what really was the specific purpose of your trip this time in Ukraine?
Well, Gary, I'd be glad to do that. The American Pastors Network has been involved in the nation of Ukraine by invitation of the government leaders and pastors there to come and specifically help them to accomplish in their country what we on this program talk about here, and that is to bring biblical principles and an understanding of what a true constitution that recognizes the limitations on government and the full rights of the people, to bring these concepts into place there, in Ukraine. And of course, the whole world is watching that nation. And it puts this invitation really right there on the front page, so to speak. But anyways, we've been there. We've been continuing. We've held summits. We've been instructing members of parliament. We have been instructing pastors. And specifically this last week was there to teach and to award about 55 young people, high school seniors and college age students, who were winners of a nationwide essay writing contest on why they needed a new constitution. And so this was a nationwide thing, over about 1,000 submissions. And with that, judges that were working with us nominated, chose the essays. And these young people, many of whose parents came to the Capitol. And then I spent about 5 hours of training with them. David Barton, who many of our listeners would know, was there with us. And then he spent some additional time. And then we then awarded these individuals in a key leading building in the capital of Kiev Wednesday night of last week. It was quite an event, and I was moved, Gary and Dave, at the seriousness of these students. They were not really aware of biblical principles. They certainly knew that they needed a new constitution, more or less. That's why they were there. But as I was able to walk through them, the underpinnings, biblical underpinnings of what constitutional freedoms are all right, and describe where rights come from God. And government doesn't give them, but they must protect them. And these fundamental elements, and the fact that moral law must undergird every principle of law, these kinds of things, as we walked through that over these many, many hours, that group ended up standing, many of them saying, my life has been changed. Hmm. My understanding has been changed. And we began to talk in earnestness about, you know, the Second Amendment as a right to defend yourself, which they do not have in Ukraine, as an example, and things of that type, and saying, here's the biblical underpinning. Here's why we have it in our United States Constitution. Here's the purpose for these things. We really, I believe, and our goal was to uncover a core of young people, and many of these were law students, so they were sharp. But Gary, that was part of what we were there. So it was focused on that. And there will be many things come out of this as we work with this next generation there in Ukraine. And it was quite an encouraging thing as we walked through that.
You know, Sam, I remember when we were invited to go over there last year and speak concerning righteousness in the nation and how important it is to have a constitution based upon biblical principles, and how Ukraine would like to become what the United States of America was in the past. I'm wondering if during your time over there this time that you had the opportunity to talk to any of the individuals who are leaders in office right now about this concept, and how did they respond to that if you did?
Well, we did with some. Now, this focus was not so much members of parliament this time, although we did, and we were invited, based on past instruction, we were invited to actually go in and teach law students in the equivalent of their Harvard School of Law when we were there. And in that setting, with the deans of the School of Law and so forth, we were able to have that discussion. And some of them said this, that, you know, until they heard our instruction, they didn't really, and these, a lot of these guys are atheists and that are law professors. They made the statement that they never understood the connection of faith and law until they heard our instruction. And now they understand why they have not been able to have predictable and an enforceable law, authoritative law. And how you cannot have that unless it is, in fact, connected to a firm moral underpinning. And that, when those kind of things happen, Gary, you know the lights go on. And see, in our country, we're rejecting it. We talked about it often there. There, they've never had it. When presented with the truth, there was a responsiveness. Here in this country, you stand up and you talk about those kinds of things. In many settings, people are either so cynical or they're so rejecting of absolute truth, they laugh at you and call you way out on the right, you know, so far out in the left field somewhere. So it's different. They, as you said, they want a nation that looks like what we used to be, not what we are. But truth is responded to, and we saw that happening there.
Well, thank you, Sam, for sharing with us. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be keeping you up to date with regard to the ministry of the American Pastors Network over in Ukraine. And just continue to pray that our influence on that particular country will be that which brings honor and glory to the Lord, as well as to help them to establish a constitution that is biblically based. What a tremendous opportunity this is that we have here at the American Pastors Network. We'll take a break, and then we will be back with Kayla Moore, the wife of Judge Roy Moore. So stay tuned.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church.
In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Janus Wealth Management Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
His wife and mother both tragically died on Valentine's Day, 1884. Depressed, he left New York to ranch cattle in the Dakotas. Later, his voluntary cavalry, known as the Rough Riders, captured San Juan Hill. He was vice president under McKinley, and in 1901 became America's youngest president. His name was Teddy Roosevelt, born this day, October 27, 1858. President Roosevelt warned, "The thought of modern industry in the hands of Christian charity is a dream worth dreaming. The thought of industry in the hands of paganism is a nightmare beyond imagining. The choice between the two is upon us."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and on behalf of David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl. And we want to introduce to you Kayla Moore. Kayla is no stranger to fighting for our right to publicly acknowledge God. As a matter of fact, as the wife of Judge Roy Moore, Kayla was front and center during the judge's battles with the ACLU and all those who seek to hide America's history as a Christian nation. Kayla has been on the front lines of the fight to protect our rights and is a strong advocate of the belief that the laws of man do not give us our rights. They simply protect our rights, which are given to us by God. In January of 2013, Kayla answered the call to continue standing up for religious freedom when she was named president of the Foundation for Moral Law, taking over for her husband, who was reelected as Chief Justice of the Alabama State Supreme Court. Prior to her taking this particular office as president, Kayla also served on the foundation's board of directors. And David Kistler, we are so delighted that you have met Kayla and that you are introducing her to and bringing her to our austere audience today. Why don't you continue with the introduction and let's just get right into it.
Well, Gary, it's my delight to do so. Sitting to my left is Kayla Moore, and I'll tell you guys, it's better sitting next to her than either one of you. I'll just say that, all right? Just get that out there right now.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
But what's also in her background, part of her bio, she is a graduate of the University of Alabama. She is a former Miss Alabama USA finalist and Miss Alabama World finalist. But she is a strong advocate for religious liberty. And, Gary, it's wonderful to have an outstanding spokesperson like her that's in our corner and on our team, so to speak. So, Kayla, welcome to Stand on the Gap today and to our listening audience.
Thank you so much, and thank you all for what you do. And the Foundation for Moral Law, myself, my husband, we appreciate helping to spread the truth.
Kayla, we obviously have great respect for your husband. We've had him on this program a time or two, and he is just a stalwart for religious liberty, and God has used him so much around not only the state of Alabama but around the country. And I will say this, as I travel as an evangelist literally nationwide, the eyes of the world are focused on the state of Alabama. Yeah. Right now with the religious liberty issues, yeah, and the stand your husband has taken. This place that we're in today, the Foundation for Moral Law, can you explain a little bit about what is the purpose of this organization and what you guys actually do here?
This organization was started about 12 years ago, and it began as a defense fund, actually, for my husband. If you remember, he was Chief Justice once before, and then he was removed for the acknowledgement of God. Everybody thinks it was about a Ten Commandments monument, but it actually was not. It was about the acknowledgement of God as being sovereign. And those were the questions that were asked. If you want to see part of the trial, it's on our website, morallaw.org. And if you go on there, you can find the link to cross-examine, and it will show the questions that were asked him. And they were all about, are you going to still acknowledge God if we continue to allow you to stay as Chief Justice? So, and of course he said, of course I'm going to acknowledge God, and then he was removed right after that. So, you know, ironically, we're still here, 12 years later. But the Foundation for Moral Law began, as a defense fund, and once he was removed, he began to go out across the nation, and the world, fighting for religious, freedom. And then he recently got elected Chief Justice again. And the people made a very resound acknowledgement of what they wanted as their Chief Justice. And he's back there. And then they needed someone to take his place. And so they asked me. Now, I was a stay-at-home mom for 30 years. Of course, I traveled with him, and I assisted him, and I was also on the board. And so I knew a lot of what was going on with the foundation because I was basically his personal assistant, handled his emails and things. And so I knew a lot of what was going on. So when they asked me, of course, I accepted. All of our children were grown and gone. And we thought, wow, this is a perfect opportunity. I can go with him to Montgomery. So the thing that people don't understand is that we actually have our home in North Alabama. And we live here in Montgomery through the week, and so we actually have to rent a place to live through the week. So it is service that we do this for. But we believe in the Constitution. As a matter of fact, we have Constitution pamphlets that my husband and I, together with the foundation, made. We've had them printed, and we distribute them everywhere, because we believe that people do not know their rights and do not know the Constitution, and so we try to teach everywhere we go.
Gentlemen, let me say this. You guys don't have the benefit of being here at the Foundation for Moral Law, but today, and I don't know if it's always this way, Kayla, but today it's a beehive of activity.
It's a beehive.
Across the way from us, there is a television interview going on with John Eidsmo, who is the lead counsel here. And, of course, Sam, you know John well. He has gone to Ukraine with you, and I had the privilege today of meeting him face-to-face for the first time. So it's an amazing, amazing thing that is going on here at the Foundation for Moral Law. Kayla, I want to ask you this. FML, Foundation for Moral Law, defends a wide range of cases, everything from the definition of marriage, Bibles in school, issues dealing with Islam, Sharia law, religious displays, public evangelism, just a variety of things. But I know you're very much aware, we were conversing off air just a little bit, you're aware of this most recent situation that has taken place at Bremerton High School with the football coach, Joe Kennedy. He has been taking a knee at the 50-yard line, you know, just having prayer. Now he is facing the loss of his job, potentially, for continuing to do that. This is just one example of a growing criminalization of Christianity across the nation. I would love for you to speak to exactly what you do here to try to defend people like Coach Joe and these situations that are occurring so rapidly now, it seems like, all across the nation.
Well, we're a 501c3 organization, so we don't charge for defending these types of cases. As a matter of fact, we have reached out to him, as well as the chaplain at Auburn University, the chancellor at Troy University. It seems that when my husband became Chief Justice, he told me that when he was here in the 10 years prior, that they never had a case in Alabama. And since he's become Chief Justice and I've been here, we've had so many cases I can't even keep up with them, just here in Alabama. So it's been difficult to spread out across the nation like we were doing, but we have reached out to them and told them that we would stand with them, help them, defend them, and that's what we do.
Gary?
Well, we are very, very thankful for what you do down there, Kayla, and I'm just wondering, you know, it seems as though this battle against Christianity is growing all across the United States of America. Dave and I talked about that yesterday with Coach Joe Kennedy out in Washington, as well as a couple of other illustrations of that. What do you see happening with that? Where do you see that going? What is going to prevail in that battle? And what is your plan there at the Foundation for Moral Law to deal with it?
Well, what we see is that Christians, it seems that when they get attacked, they want to go and hide in a corner and not take the attacks. But we're starting to educate, and God's starting to move, and I'm starting to see people all across this nation, not just in Alabama, but they're tired of it, and they're starting to take a stand. I think Christianity has been taught that, you know, we're peaceful and we're loving. Yes, we are. But when it comes to removing our God from us, you've got a whole different person there. And we've got to take a stand. Pastors have got to stop watering down the message. Yeah. You know, they've got to start taking a stand across this nation for the God who put them in the position that they're in. And that's what we believe. You know, we believe that God put my husband as Chief Justice for whatever reason, and God has placed me here. I'd much rather be at home on my farm with my horses and my grandchildren. But I'm here because God has placed me here, and he's put us in service for him. It's not for us. It's for him, and we've got to take a stand. We've got to teach, and we've got to educate, and that's what it's going to take, not just from my husband, myself, but from everyone. Every Christian is going to have to take a stand because it's coming. Sooner or later, they're going to have to make a choice.
Do you do anything with the whole concept of what it takes to stand against? I mean, we've talked about that before. But, you know, when it comes to civil disobedience, do you folks deal with civil disobedience at all in some of your activities?
Absolutely. You know, civil disobedience. And then you talk about the Constitution. I think what we need to do is get back to the Constitution, and then we'll have our protection because, you know, our rights come from God, and the Constitution is there to protect those rights. And so what we need to do is start standing for our faith, standing for our God, and learning and knowing the Constitution and standing on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Kayla Moore, who is the wife of Judge Roy Moore. Thank you, Kayla, for being with us today. And, of course, we know you're very actively involved in the Foundation for Moral Law. We will pray for you. We will continue to support you in what you do. And please give our regards to your husband, Roy. And if there's anything we can do to serve you here at the American Pastors Network, please let us know. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. And ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to have with us Paul Brown, a dear friend of Dave Kistler's and mine. You won't want to leave. Stay tuned. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Wisconsin Republican Paul Ryan's expected to be elected House Speaker on Thursday with a vote on a two-year budget deal out of the way tomorrow. Current Speaker John Boehner.
I made it clear a month ago when I announced that I was leaving that I wanted to do my best to clean the barn. I didn't want him to walk into a dirty barn full of you-know-what. So I've done my best to try to clean it up.
Some conservatives are against the deal, and Congressman Ryan says he doesn't like the rush job. Islamic State terrorists kill three captives in Palmyra, Syria.
Activists with the Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights say the captives were tied to columns and then the structures were blown up with explosives. The Islamic militants captured the ancient city from the Syrian government in May. Since then, ISIS has destroyed several relics and ancient temples.
Fox News Radio's Jessica Gallagher. Fox News, we report. You decide.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. If you've ever failed to share your faith because you just didn't know what words to use, then carry the word with you.
My 12-year-old nephew came to visit on the 4th of July. He came armed with his patriotic gospels. We went to the boardwalk, passing them out and wishing all a happy 4th of July. It was an awesome experience. Thank you for all you do.
This is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. League members have found that any place is a good place to share a pocket gospel with someone they meet. Join us and you'll always be ready. Is there anything more important?
I plan to hand out these Gospel of John tracts as I hand out free bag lunches to anyone that has need in the downtown area. Thank you for your help and support in God's ministry.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. What a joy it is to have you there by the radio or the computer, however you may be listening. Along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dull. And we are delighted now to welcome to Stand in the Gap today Congressman Paul Brown, former Congressman Paul Brown, I suppose I should say. But he was the United States representative for Georgia's 10th congressional district from about 2007 to 2015. He's a member of the Republican Party and the Tea Party Caucus. Paul conducted his entire time in the United States House by asking four simple questions before voting on any piece of legislation. The first question was, is it right? Secondly, is it constitutional? Thirdly, is it affordable? And fourthly, is it necessary? And the thing that really impressed me was the fact that within weeks of being elected to his first term, Paul stood on the House floor and shared his personal testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. And really, ladies and gentlemen, it was an evangelistic time, an evangelistic meeting. I watched it several times, and I suppose you could still watch it somewhere. Maybe Paul can tell us where that can be seen when we bring him to the microphone. But in addition to serving in Congress, Paul is a medical doctor. He lives in Athens, Georgia. He's married to his wife, Nikki, and they have three children. Dr. Paul Brown, welcome to Stand in the Gap today. It's just a delight to have you with us, sir. You are such a breath of fresh air for those of us in this nation today.
Well, Gary, thank you so much. I just praise God that he put me there for a while. My whole calling has come from a question that God asked in Psalm 11:3. And the question is, if the foundations be destroyed, what are the righteous to do? We have both political parties destroying the foundational principles of this nation. Mm. Those principles that embodied in the Declaration of Independence as well as the U.S. Constitution. And we have even Christian conservatives who claim to be constitutionalists in Washington today who don't vote that way. And why is that so? And it's so because we as Christians, we as Americans, don't demand constitutionally enumerated powers, limited government, as our founding fathers meant it to be. The Constitution was written on biblical principles. Our founding fathers believed every aspect of life, including public policy and politics, should be directed by God's inerrant word, the Holy Bible. And I hold those same truths self-evident, and that's the problem that we have today is the church is not doing what it's supposed to be. I listened to Ms. Moore talking to y'all, and in Hosea 4:6, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. We have a tremendous lack of knowledge in the church about the proper responsibility of Christians in public life. We've removed ourselves from public life. We've bought into this lie that there's a separation of church and state in our U.S. Constitution. There's not. And there was never any intent of our founding fathers for Christians not to be involved in public policy. And we've got to have a revival in the pulpits. The pastors across this nation are going to have to start preaching the full counsel of God. They're totally ignoring Romans 13:1-3, where God says he ordained government in the King James Version, established it in the New American Standard. And the politicians, the rulers, are supposed to be ministers of God, ministers of righteousness, to uphold the law. Well, whose law are we supposed to be upholding? We're supposed to be upholding God's directions to us as a nation, and we're not doing that.
Amen.
Paul, I want to say this. One of the things that I've appreciated about you since the moment I met you, and you will remember, we met at a tent crusade that our ministry was conducting over Clayton, Georgia area, and we connected, and you had barely lost an election. It was close enough. The state of Georgia requires a runoff election, and so in the runoff, Paul, you won, which I believe was God's divine intervention in that race. And, of course, I've been in your office many, many times in Washington, D.C. Gary has been there with me. And I want to say this before I ask you a couple of questions. When I walk into offices in our nation's capital, some of them, Paul, are filled with darkness. And I don't mean they've got curtains over the windows. I'm talking about spiritual darkness that pervades many of those offices on the Hill. But when I walked into your office, I'm just telling you, I felt like I was walking into a place flooded with spiritual light. And to sit down with you, to pray together, to converse together, was always the highlight of my trips to D.C. So I have nothing but the highest regard for you, great respect for you. And I appreciate your testimony so much, both now as well as the time you served in D.C. and are praying, to be honest with you, praying God will put you back up there again. I want to ask you this because we're looking at a vote on Thursday for the new Speaker of the House. And you've been there. You know Paul Ryan, who is considered to be, I guess at this point, the front runner. You know the GOP caucus very, very well. Let me ask this. What should, not what are they in the GOP caucus looking for, what should the GOP caucus be looking for in the next Speaker of the House?
We need to be looking for somebody who's going to stop this radical anti-Christian, anti-biblical agenda of the president. And Paul Ryan will not do that, I don't believe. I like Paul personally. I've hunted with him. He's a nice man. I have a tremendous respect for him as an individual. But he's not the person that needs to be the speaker, in my opinion. And whoever is the speaker, I think is going to affect the presidential race as well. We've got to have somebody who's going to be a good communicator to the American people. We've got to have leadership in Washington. John Boehner has not been the leadership that we need, nor is Mitch McConnell been the leader that we need to show the American people that there is a difference in the parties. I used to do a radio program on a Christian radio station in Middle Georgia, and on that radio station I talked about the Democrat Party's philosophy of socialism. They want total government control of everything and everybody's lives. But then I go on to say that most Republicans in Washington are just cheap Democrats. They want an efficient socialist government. Republicans want to spend $1.15 for every dollar they take in taxes. Democrats spend $1.25 for every dollar they take in taxes. It's a dime's worth of difference. Well, that was back in the late 80s, early 90s. It's that way today. But the thing is, if we continue to nominate people like Mitt Romney and John McCain, who are nothing but Democrat lights, big government Republicans, and Paul Ryan is one of those big government Republicans, then the American people are going to elect the real thing, a Democrat. And so who the speaker is going to make a big difference, I believe, in this next presidential election. Paul Ryan has been promoting things that I think most Christians would not like, and such as he's been a very adamant supporter of giving amnesty to all the illegal aliens who are in this country and have broken many federal laws. Virtually all of them have broken many federal laws. He was one of six Republicans, I understand, that voted to require Christian businesses to hire people who are part of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual community, the LGBT community. And he voted, one of six Republicans that voted to put those, to require Christians to hire these people. He's not the kind of person who should be speaker. There are other people. The argument for him is that he could bring them all together and he could listen to the conservatives. And you hear some of the conservatives like Jim Jordan. My wife heard him on, I think, on Fox News singing the praises of Paul Ryan. He got 2/3 of the Freedom Caucus, which is supposed to be the 40 more conservative members. He got 2/3 of them to say yes, they would support Paul Ryan. Now, it is not a fait accompli as Thursday. In fact, we've put together a website called firepaulryan.com. That's a website, and we are encouraging people to go on the website, sign a petition for Paul Ryan not to be speaker. But the thing else besides doing firepaulryan.com and going on signing the petition, they should call their congressman and tell their congressman to vote for somebody else besides Paul Ryan on Thursday. And if 30 House members, Republicans, will vote for somebody else, and then will withstand the heat of having done so when they have the special conference to try to sort things out, Paul Ryan won't be speaker, and we can have somebody that will stand up to Barack Obama, somebody who can still promote a conservative agenda, which Paul Ryan will not do. Paul Ryan is an establishment guy. It's just going to continue down the road. So we've got to call our congressman, every congressman across the country, and say, don't vote for Paul Ryan. Vote for somebody else, and we can block his being elected speaker.
Well, Paul, this is Sam. Roar, thanks for being on with us today. Let me ask you a question here right now. Frankly, what you described about Paul, that's what I have felt. And I think that's where his positions have been. Yet, on the other hand, is there anyone else there? I mean, Dan Webster obviously is someone who's had his name in the ring. But is there anyone else? Is it Dan who effectively has the ability to get sufficient support within the House? And maybe you'll have to answer that when you come back on the other side, but that's going to be the real practical question here. I'd like to hear from you.
Yes, I'm going to have to jump in here, Paul, and if you can answer that question when we come back, I would appreciate it. That's a very good question. FirePaulRyan.com. It was interesting. I was thinking about what we can do right before you mentioned that. So, ladies and gentlemen, go to FirePaulRyan.com. Again, when you come back, Paul, maybe you can answer Sam's question and talk more about that particular website. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go away. We will be back with the final segment of today's Stand in the Gap Today in just about 4 minutes. Stay tuned.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
The Apostle Paul proclaimed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we must not be sorrowful and without hope like those around us when friends and family who die in Christ go to live with Him in glory. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. In fact, we should not only not sorrow like others who have no hope, we should look forward with great anticipation to the rapture of the church when Christ Himself will descend in the clouds and all those who know Jesus Christ as Savior will hear the unmistakable sound of the archangel's trumpet. Then in that glorious moment, in a twinkling of an eye, all those who having died in Christ will be raised from the graves and we who are alive will meet our loved ones in the air with our Lord and together will live with Him forever and ever. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying, now this is real biblical hope and change that you can count on. Do you have that living hope?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we would encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and learn more about this particular radio outreach, as well as what else we do here at APN. But also, you will have the opportunity there to correspond with us, and we would certainly encourage you to do that. We have with us former Congressman Paul Brown, who, of course, is a great friend of ours here at the Stand in the Gap Today radio program. And, Paul, before we went into the break, Brother Sam asked you the question, if indeed Paul Ryan is not the one to put in the speakership position, who then is a good person? And, of course, I think Sam asked about Dan Webster. Is Dan Webster a good person? And where can we go? What can we do, perhaps, to get him in that position?
Dan Webster's a great guy, a good friend of mine, a strong Christian. He was the Speaker of the House in the state of Florida, won his race for the House against overwhelming odds, and I think it was God that put him there. So he's had that experience. There are a lot of conservatives that have been promoting Dan Webster. He would be better than Paul Ryan, without a question. The problem I see with Dan Webster is that he's a quiet, unimposing type of individual. I don't think he would be the kind of person to go head-to-head with Barack Obama, with Nancy Pelosi, and with Harry Reid and stop this out-of-control government that both political parties have built. There are other people who I think would be better than Webster. I'd love to see Webster over Paul Ryan. Dan Webster would allow the conservatives to have a place at the table, would listen to them, and would at least consider a conservative thought, whereas I don't believe Paul Ryan will. He's part of the establishment. He's going to go down the road that that John Boehner has been going down, and I don't think Paul Ryan is going to be a good negotiator with the Democrats, in particular with Barack Obama either. Now, he did negotiate a budget deal with Patty Murray from Washington in the U.S. Senate, who was the chairman of the Budget Committee when Paul was chairman of the Budget Committee, and gave us the Ryan-Murray budget. I didn't vote for it. It's a farce. It continues to spend money, and it continues to take us down the road to a financial collapse of this nation if we don't stop spending money we don't have. And I think Paul will continue down that road. We've got to first and foremost, stop him from being Speaker. And there are other people. Dr. Tom Price from Georgia would be much better Speaker, I think, than Paul Ryan. Jim Jordan from Ohio, Jeb Hensarling from Texas, just three to mention, as well as Dan Webster. But we've got to have somebody who's going to be a good communicator to the American people, somebody who's going to stand up to Barack Obama and stop this juggernaut that is what Barack Obama promised that he was going to do when he was running 6 years ago, when he said he wanted to fundamentally change America, and he's been about doing it. So we've got to have a good, strong Speaker, and that's what we need. We've got to stop Paul Ryan from being elected on Thursday, and the way to do that, sorry to keep going on and on, but the way to do that is that if 30 Republicans will vote for another individual besides Paul Ryan and will stand firm on that, what will happen is if the Speaker has to get 50% plus one votes of those voting for a person. So if somebody abstains, it doesn't count. They have to vote for a person, a living person. It doesn't even have to be somebody who is a member of Congress. In fact, 2 years ago, when we had the speaker's election, I voted for Alan West, my friend from Florida, who was not in Congress. He lost his reelection bid. He was not in Congress. He would have been a lot better speaker than John Boehner.
Paul, let me jump in and just ask you a quick question, and I apologize, my friend.
Sure, no problem. I just so mad about it. We've got to stop this juggernaut of big government that
What you're sharing, Paul, our listening audience and America needs to hear. It's just I've got to step over to the Alabama Supreme Court, a matter of minutes for a service over there.
Okay,
but listen, one of the gentlemen from my state, Mark Meadows, a good guy in a lot of ways, has been stating this, and I'd love to have your take on it. He's been stating it's not about the person, it's about the process. And what
Absolutely.
He's advocating is if we get somebody like Paul Ryan in there, but they're open to letting every one of the House members have a say rather than slapping them on the hand and sending them back to their sandbox and saying we're going to make all the decisions, those of us in leadership, and not giving anybody a say. He's advocating that Paul Ryan may be willing to do that. It's not about the person. It's about the process. I would love to have you address that and stress why it's not just about the process. It is about the person. And, by the way, Paul, got to step out while you answer the question. Love you, my brother. Great to have you on the
love
program.
Love you, Dave. God bless you. And I disagree with my good friend Mark Meadows on that. Process does matter. Principle matters more than process, and we've got to have somebody who's going to be a principled person who is going to stand for principle. The problem that John Boehner has is I think his principle is let's make a deal, and Paul Ryan has shown that same kind of propensity when he made the deal with Patty Murray. Now, people would argue against that statement and say, well, it's politics is all about compromise. Well, the problem with that is if John Boehner, it seems to me, has gone to the bargaining table with Boehner and Harry Reid and as well as Nancy Pelosi with the attitude of what I have to give you, and they come to the bargaining table saying, what are you going to give us? That's no way to negotiate. Frankly, I think Paul Ryan is going to be the same way. He may listen to the conservatives a little bit more than Boehner, but I'm not certain that he's even going to do that. But there are better people in Congress that will make better speakers, better communicators, who are not part of the process of promoting bigger and bigger government.
We know we're down to about 30 seconds, Paul, and so Sam has a question. So, Sam, ask the question, please.
Well, Paul, I mean, this is very quick. I agree with what you are saying, but explain this, why some folks, even like I think former Senator Jim DeMint, I believe, came out in support of Paul Ryan. Very principled individual. This is what complicates things for the people who are out there. Explain that, please. Somebody's got to be able to step forward. It's hardly sufficient to say we don't want Paul without having to say we have somebody that we want.
10 seconds, Paul.
Well, if we stop Paul Ryan Thursday, then they'll have to go back to the drawing board, and then we start promoting somebody else. Jim DeMint's a good friend. I disagree with him, too. So we've got to add our voice by stopping Paul Ryan. FirePaulRyan.com.
FirePaulRyan.com is where you want to go, and our engineer has already gone there to vote, and he said it's very easy. So go to FirePaulRyan.com. Paul Brown, thank you very much for being with us on Stand in the Gap today. We pray that God will continue to use you in the future in ways exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. And ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have for today. The Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow. Until then, keep looking up. The best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
Have you checked out our podcast on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com? If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.